You're listening to a real piece of work. That's probably not how I should say that. Take two. You're listening to A Real Piece of Work, a jobs podcast for aspiring professionals, brought to you by WVIK, Quad Cities NPR, and Junior Achievement of the Heartland. Here's your hosts, Matt and Melissa.
Hey, Matt, how's it going?
It's great. How are you today?
Oh, man, I am really good. We are busy as ever here, but we are starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're actually hiring. So that's what's keeping me busy this week is reading resumes, really promoting the job on LinkedIn and other places. So I'm actually having a lot of fun because I love hiring.
Job growth is a phenomenal thing for all of us, and hopefully it's a great indicator for the economy in general. So that's great news.
Yeah, it's good. And today we have someone who knows a little bit about this community and what's going on around here. Our guest is Kyle Gripp, who is an alderman at large for the city of Davenport. That is one of the things he does in this world. So should we introduce him and ask him a lot of hard questions about his job?
I think that'd be pretty awesome. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk about what it means to be an elected official on the Quad Cities.
Awesome.
Before we get there, just real quick, Melissa, I apologize, but outside of being an alderman, what else is on your plate that keeps you busy during the day?
Well, I've only got two full-time jobs and four children, and I coach two basketball teams and two baseball teams. So I've got a lot of free time on my hands. During the day, I work at the Rock Island Arsenal at the manufacturing site. So I work until about 3 p.m. and then I get off and I head over to City Hall for the rest of the day.
How did you know that you wanted to be in government? I mean, you're already involved in government for your, you know, day job, but how did you know that that was a path that you wanted to take?
Well, as far as my day job goes, I didn't know that I would end up working at the Rock Island Arsenal. As far as being an alderman, I was a little bit strange in the sense that when I was a teenager, I used to watch all of the city council meetings on the local cable access. So I would tune in every week. And so I knew all of the aldermen and the mayors and the politics that was going on in Davenport. And I've always loved the city of Davenport. So since I was a teenager, I kind of always had the goal of serving on the city council.
That's pretty amazing to me. I'm not sure most high school students are spending their free time doing that, but
not many.
No joke. I think that ought to be a prerequisite that at least every student observe a city council meeting to get an understanding of what makes these cities tick. So that's pretty impressive. You did that at a pretty young age.
Yeah, and absolutely. We pre-COVID, we did have a lot of students, high school students, college students show up and do the meetings. And I think it should be a prerequisite. It's a really good experience to understand how government works.
So let's say that our listeners don't know how government works. Can you give us a primer on what your job is? What's your job description and what is it in practice?
All right. So I am alderman at large for the city of Davenport. That means I represent every resident in the city. Our government is set up that we have 8 ward aldermen. They each represent a section of their city, and then 2 at-large aldermen that represent the entire city. I'm one of those 2. Generally, what we do is we provide counsel to our elected officials, our professional staff. So we give them a vision for what they should execute. That's number one. We also make laws. So we make ordinances that are enforced in the city of Davenport. We set the annual budget. And then a really big percentage of our time is being kind of the conduit between the public and the professional staff of the city. So we field a lot of complaints. Hey, Alderman, I have an issue with my alley. I have an issue with my street. Can you please help me with that?
So what do you like about your job as an alderman, and what do you not like? Yeah. What would you change?
So I love it. I love being an alderman. I still love the city of Davenport. I love serving the public. And if you don't love it, it would be a really hard job to do, because it's not, it's a lot of hours. It's not very easy. You don't get paid very much. It really is a public service. So one thing I like about it is I have my finger on the pulse of what's happening in Quad Cities with new development, different businesses. I know a lot of different people. I get to interact in a lot of arenas, and I really enjoy that. One thing I would change is the negativity is very difficult. So I don't get a lot of phone calls. Hey, Kyle, you're doing a great job. I love everything about the city. Keep it up. That's all I've got. It's more of I'm calling you because I'm upset about something and I want you to fix it. So that can really be difficult sometimes to manage mentally, where you get more of the negative than you can get the positive.
Kind of curious, from a high school and post-high school education perspective, where were you? Where have you been? And how did that prepare you for what you're doing as a public servant?
Yeah, so I graduated from Central High School in Davenport, and then I stayed in town. I played baseball in St. Ambrose, and I was a business student there. And then I got a master's degree from Drake in public administration. And that was really helpful in actually meeting a lot of people, a lot of players in the Quad Cities. But honestly, the thing that has set me up for success is what we talked about earlier, is I've paid attention for a long time about what's going on in the city. So I know the history of Davenport. I know who the people are, and I'm able to really adjust quickly to what the issues are and have an understanding that somebody who might be new or new to Davenport doesn't have.
What are some pointers for someone who, other than paying attention, pointers for a young person who wants to get into local politics? And is it something, young people, can do? How can young people? So two things: how should they prepare? But then also, can young people be involved? How can they?
Yeah, absolutely. Young people can be involved and should be involved. So one of the things I'm really proud of is that when I came on council, it was mostly made up of retired people. And I think you really need a diverse council to be making decisions for a diverse community. And since I came on board the council, there's been a lot of younger family types and career professionals who are now on the city council. So we've kind of changed that. My advice to young people would be to volunteer and get involved. You have to start doing, and eventually you'll start proving yourself to other people, and you'll start being put into situations that will grow you as a professional. Your knowledge will start to grow, your confidence starts to grow. And then if you really have aspirations to run, you really have to build up a coalition of people who believe in you. And once you've done that, really there's kind of a formula to running.
Alderman Grip, I like that answer. And as you know, this podcast's target audience is high school students, maybe even a little younger. And one of the things that we always want to make sure we do is get their perspective in terms of a question for our guest. And normally that question relates to how do you do what you do? What are aspects of your job? But we got a unique question today, actually from your alma mater, individual student that's got one teed up for you as a public official.
Hi, my name is Diamond, and I am a 10th grader at Central High School. I am a career tech ambassador for the Davenport Community School District. As an alderman for our city, how important is having strong career and technical education programs in our local schools? Are there any projects you are currently engaged in to support this work?
Well, Diamond, that is a really good question, and I appreciate you submitting it. So the answer is obviously it's incredibly important that we have these career and technology programs within our skills, and it really comes down to workforce for a community. When companies are looking to come into our city or they're looking to expand within our city, the first thing they're looking for is do they have the workforce to fill the jobs that we have? And if they look at the workforce that you have and your workforce is underqualified and not specialized, then they immediately start looking at other cities. So from a development standpoint, it's incredibly important. But also, you want a city that is full of smart people with skills who want to do things and better the community. So it's important in that regard as well. What is the city doing specifically? So I will say that while it's important, this doesn't necessarily fit under the umbrella of what are the duties of a city. A lot of times this is, how can we support the school district to implement these different types of programs? So one of the things is by engaging the unions and trades to be in the schools and training folks up on those types of blue collar jobs. There was a partnership with the school district and Genesis Hospital that gets high school students into nursing. So when they graduate from high school, they have a nursing job. One thing that I talk every time I meet with a university president, Augustana College, St. Ambrose, Scott Community College, the one thing I talk about is we need more engineers. Okay, we want Davenport kids who graduate with knowledge in engineering out of college, and they want to work at the Rock Island Arsenal or John Deere or any of the other manufacturing jobs that we have here, so we can continue to grow that base, and the companies we have will continue to invest in Quad Cities.
That's awesome.
And that's something that we're all aware of, right? You know, that's how I kicked off this podcast, is like that talent pipeline for all, you know, for all industries. And we want our kids to want to work here and have the skills and abilities necessary to do that. So thanks for sharing your perspective on that. Want to talk a little bit about campaigning. You know, we know we're just finished, you know, obviously observing a campaign, and so we probably have our own thoughts, and I don't want to get into that, but what is it like at the local level? You know, you got a campaign, you're elected, you don't just get picked to do the job. So what's that like?
It is hard work. And the thing I tell people, if you're thinking about running for political office, is you better get used to doing things that make you very uncomfortable. And that includes speaking in front of a lot of people you don't know, having meetings with important people in the community that you've never met, and you're expected to be able to have a knowledge on a bunch of different topics, but also you have to knock on people's doors. I knock on thousands of doors every election, strangers, and then have a conversation, and the objective is when I leave that door, they're going to vote for me. That can be very uncomfortable. And then, you know, I shouldn't gloss over the fact that you have to be able to raise a little bit of money for a citywide election. So not as much for the ward alderman, but the at-large alderman and the mayor. You have to be able to go out there and raise a little bit of money. And that can be uncomfortable, asking your friends and family for money, asking local leaders for money. And you got to be comfortable being uncomfortable.
Alderman Grip, I got a few questions related to that. What's order, the students are going to be wondering, you're raising money. What's an order of magnitude that you think is going to be necessary to be relevant when it comes to an election?
At the local level, I think most of the ward aldermen can run a successful campaign with $3,000 to $5,000. The at-large can run a successful campaign with $10,000 to $15,000. And typically the mayor is around $30,000. And a lot of that money is eaten up in campaign mailers, are very expensive with the postage and the cardstock and all of that. Facebook advertising is important and it's relatively cheap. And then we do still do like dialers where we call people on the phone. And that is cheap as well.
Excellent. And then on the coattails of that, you talked about the uncomfortable situations. What surprised you the most? Or maybe you're just like, wow, I'd never anticipated that.
You know, one thing that most people who get onto council don't really understand is that you are only one person out of a council of 10 with a mayor and a city administrator and a lot of community members who have an opinion also. And so you get on council and you think, I'm going to make all of the changes that I want to make. And really, what it what it comes down to is you have to be able to build relationships.
You were saying you as a council member are just one person and you're trying to get all these things done, but you're just one person.
Yeah, so one of the biggest realities that you face as an elected official is when you come on board, you are one of 10 aldermen. There is also a mayor and there's a city administrator and department heads and a community of leaders. And it's not that you have these great ideas and you get to implement them. It's really about building relationships with other people and trying to find coalitions to get things done. So that is a learning lesson that you learn very quickly in your first term, that that's how you get things done, is with the help of other people. And really, the most proud moments are the same thing, where you find a lot of people in the community who have passions about very specific things. And when you are able to support them in implementing whatever their passions are, whether it be a backyard chicken ordinance that I did with a group of chicken owners. I'm never going to own chickens, but I was really happy that we were able to pass an ordinance for them so they could. Or we were able to ensure funding stability for the Putnam Museum. That was a big one. And we were able to put in a roundabout at 6th and Vine. This neighborhood had been asking for traffic control for years and years, and I was finally able to get the right people in the room to make it happen. And those things happen all of the time, but that's really the joy you get out of being an elected official, is helping people with passions make their passions come to reality.
Well, I'm excited to, be a person who runs a business in the city of Davenport, hearing, what your passion, knowing we have elected officials who are passionate about the people who live here, the people who, work and live and thrive here in our community. So thank you for your service. Thank you for your time today. It's been fun to talk with you and to hear your passion. And hopefully it sparks an interest for our listeners. So thanks, Kyle.
Thanks, Kyle.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me. Always happy to talk about the city of Davenport.
Wow, I really enjoyed talking with Kyle. What was something that surprised you or that you learned about being a public official?
I think it was pretty amazing that at a high school level, he was that interested in public government that he would take free time to sit and literally watch most of the city council meetings to get smarter about what's going on in his community and who the leaders were that were doing things to help us, to help everybody out. So I thought it was actually fascinating, and I wish every high school student at least had a chance to at least observe one city council meeting, if not more. How about you?
Yeah, I really think it's a calling for Kyle. And I think it is for a lot of our elected officials. And so that was really cool to hear. And then also what it takes to campaign. I think we see that, they need to be public speakers, but some of those things behind the scene, those doorstep conversations and getting out of your comfort zone are soft skills that elected officials would need to have as well.
Yeah, you better get used to being uncomfortable real quick.
I don't know if that's a good skill that I possess, but happy to always bring on guests to expand our horizons. So yeah, we'll do this again next week.
That sounds great. Take care of yourself.
See you later.